Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Good morning, Steve Dale right here, and I'll tell you, this is the most amazing thing in the world because it's 6:31 on WGN. Look at all the time I have. You know, we're going to have, who do you think the biggest celebrity of 2019 in my world, in the animal world, happened to be? What do you think? Well, we've got him on the phone. We'll talk to him in a moment. I also attended the symposium. Now, this is going to sound very fancy, very technical. I helped to organize this, too, and was the sort of MC, for lack of a better word, for the event. That is the Wynn Feline Symposium on Feline Infectious Peritonitis. What a way to begin a morning, huh? What did I just say? Well, this is something that happens mostly to kittens, but to cats, and now this disease that had always been considered incurable or fatal, that's what the books say. That's what the veterinary books say. Now, for the first time, the terminology is treatable. And that's kind of the headline coming out of this symposium that brought people together from all over the world. I'll explain what that is all about. I'll explain how and why that matters to you if you happen to have a cat or you're just a cat lover. But right now, good morning, Alligator Frank Robb, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me, sir. Doing great.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And we've got a couple of minutes. And my intent is to maybe retell the story, ask some questions that other reporters might not have asked you. And, you know, listen, friends, if you don't know, this is the guy responsible for catching Chance the Snapper. That's the alligator that was in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. So here we have this alligator swimming about the lagoon. And I know that it was a couple of weeks, I think about 2 weeks, the Chicago Herpetological Society, they're experts on reptiles, and they help save reptiles. So sadly, you know, you've heard of rescue groups for Bichon Frise, right, or poodles, or whatever it might be. Well, they're kind of like a rescue group slash education group for reptiles. And they tried, and one gentleman in particular tried very diligently to capture the reptile. I suggested on the radio, the problem isn't him so much as all the people around, you know, all the attention this was getting brought people from all these neighborhoods right to the Humboldt Park Lagoon, which means the alligator is going to dive right under and not be any part of this. And this was an alligator that was probably kept as a pet in the first place and not very accustomed to being out in a lagoon, which is a very wide open space if you're accustomed to being kept in a little kiddie pool or a bathtub. So have I got that part right, do you think?
Yeah, I'd say so. It was definitely an animal that was captive. From the light-colored eyes, you could tell he'd been in darkness his whole life, locked in a closet or a bathroom and in a very small container. He was probably used to seeing one person, maybe, you know, every day. He was very well-fed, somebody obviously either outgrew the container or escaped, and my two cents would be somebody probably just tossed him in there.
Yeah, which is tragic. I mean, it's tragic for the alligator. It, you know, it was absolutely...
It's an all too common story in Florida, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, and you're located in Florida. So at what point in time did you hear about this alligator in Chicago and get a call? And who was that call from?
I had been following the story since almost it started. It's something gator pops up, or reptile in general. Our whole family pretty much goes to it and goes, wow, okay, this is interesting. Let's see what's happening here. And this was one of those. We had been following it, kind of chuckling along the way, you know, kind of going, what are these guys doing? They're making this much more complicated than they need to. I got the call a Saturday morning, about a week and a half into the situation, I guess. And it was from Kelly Gandersky, one of my personal heroes now. That lady is amazing. If you guys don't know who she is, she runs Chicago Animal Care and Control. An amazing woman. You guys are blessed to have her where she's at. And she gave me a call and got me down there, or got me up there, rather.
Yeah, I agree, incidentally, with your opinion about Kelly. So you came up here. And by the way, friends, our phone number, because I want you to participate in this, because I've got the biggest Chicago celebrity in the animal world on the phone, 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Hope you do. 312-981-7200. And you, I know, have a children's book out, and we'll get to that in a bit. So you get the call from Kelly. You come up, and what was the first thing you did?
I had arranged for everybody that was in charge, you know, people with the parks and rec and all the different departments to be there so I could kind of tell everybody my plan at the same time. It's something I do here. When I get in the scene, so there's a big alligator on somebody's front porch, if there's law enforcement there, I look at the situation, go talk to everybody and say, hey, look, this is what I'm going to do. This is how we're going to break this down. If something goes wrong, let me work it out. You know, keep your guns holstered, whatever needs to happen. It's kind of what I did here. I got out, looked at the situation and went, wow, this is a lot.
well,
you guys need to, like, just give me some time. I'm going to go for a walk. And they said, well, no, hold on a second. Let us walk you around. And I said, come on now. Nobody knows who I am. Let me use that to my advantage. Let me go walk the park with everybody here. Let me see what's going on, get a feel of the situation, and I'll come back over here in a few minutes. And took a walk around, realized that it was completely out of control. Food trucks, bands playing, trucks selling T-shirts, you know, news crews, helicopters, everything else. And I went back and talked to Kelly, and I said, you know, you guys are going to have to, you're going to have to shut this place down, which we had talked about before I got there. I'm like, just give me one night, you know, shut it down and give me one night. If he's here, which was a big question, a lot of people in Chicago didn't realize they can get up out of water whenever they want to and go for a walk, which was one of the things, again, that helped me out a lot. There were no preconceived notions of what is right and what is wrong. Nobody there telling you how to do your job. They let me quarterback the thing, and that's the reason it got done so quick. It was a joint effort. It was all of Chicago coming together. Honest to goodness, it's a lot more than me. It was the police department, the parks department, and Kelly and Chicago Animal Care and Control, and everybody coming together to make this happen. It was so much more than just me.
Let me back up a step. What do you do in Florida?
I work for the nuisance alligator program here in Florida, so I catch alligators for the state of Florida.
And how often?
And I do all types of different research with alligators. You mean, you pretty much name the research, I've done it. And, you know, I do vocalization research. I've done a little bit of endocrinology, a little bit of everything with them.
Well, alligators make this, alligators when they're born and they come out of eggs, make this very cool sound. Can you do that?
They do make some very cool sounds, yes, sir. It's one of many sounds they make.
Can you do that sound?
Yes, sir, I can.
I want to hear it.
It's a trade secret, buddy. I leave that one.
Oh, come on.
I leave that one just to me.
Come on. It's the coolest sound, friends. It is.
It is. That's one of the many tools I have in my toolbox.
So,
and it's an important piece of the puzzle, no doubt about it.
If I try it, would you correct me and do it correctly?
No. I'll let you believe.
Oh, come on. All right, so you've got this alligator in the lagoon. The question is, how do you go about catching an alligator? You did that. We'll talk about that.
Yep.
We'll talk about the kids book, and part of the proceeds go to Chicago Animal Care and Control. And then I want to talk a bit about alligators and a bit about reptiles with you. We're talking about
how
does it feel to be the biggest, I'm naming you, the biggest Chicago animal celebrity of 2019.
Again, it's so much more than me. It's been a complete blessing the whole way through. I came there to do something good for an animal that was in distress, and, you know, it was able to work out that way, praise God. But again, a joint effort. So, I mean, I continue to say this. This goes to everybody in Chicago. This is not just for me. This is a win for all of us, and a win for that animal, too, you know.
Well,
he never has any worries ever again. He's in a great place. It couldn't have went any better than it went.
All right. And we'll also learn where Chance the Snapper is right now. So that's a radio tease if I've ever heard one. Don't move. Day after Thanksgiving, I'll be on the radio from noon until 2:30. We'll talk of the best of 2019. And we have on the phone now one of the best of 2019 in the animal world. This has to be the story in Chicago. When you came to Chicago, Frank Robb, now known as Alligator Robb here in Chicago, did you have any idea that, okay, many months later, this guy who does a show is going to have you on the radio, and I don't even have to explain who you are because everybody knows who you are. I mean, you've become a celebrity in Chicago. I mean, you have a bobblehead, I think, right?
Yeah. It was, believe me, none of this was expected or wanted. Like I said, I came there to do a job. I came there to do something good for an animal that I truly believe, you know, the good Lord put me on this planet to work with, and that all worked out, and then everything else has just been tremendous, just the grace of God, truly.
You know, when I first heard about this and I heard about the size, I thought, well, okay, maybe this isn't actually even an alligator. It could be a caiman. I didn't know. It could be a crocodile, I guess, but I doubted that. It turned out to be, I believe, an American alligator. How did you go about catching the alligator that has now become known as Chance the Snapper?
Well, before I ever left Florida, I started studying that park and all the little waterways and where everything went, and kind of really started digging into it, looking at the details about that place, the lagoon, and then all the little canals and creeks that kind of come off of it, and all the areas that are kind of overgrown with all the different foliage and stuff going on there, and the trees around it, because each tree around that pond makes a cave where they've laid that grass around the forever, and the netting that makes natural caves in the banks so they can go up and have airspace. So really, if that animal didn't want to be found, you weren't going to find him. And so that was one of the biggest things to me when I got there, to kind of look around the place, get a topo of the area, start really studying it. And that night when I went out there, that gave me the upper hand on where to look and what to look for. But it really, if that animal wanted to be hidden, there was no going to... A wild alligator, when he doesn't want to be caught, you're not going to catch him. And that's what had happened to that situation. He had turned into a wild alligator. And, you know, one that size can't stay down a long time, maybe 45 minutes. But if he wants to be a ghost, all he's got to do is put that nasal cap up, take a breath, and go back down. And if he wanted to do his thing, he could have been long gone.
How long can an alligator hold his or her breath?
A big guy can hold his breath all day. You know, a 10 or 11 footer holds his breath all day. In the cold, that's one of the amazing things about that animal. They can command their own heart rate. Wouldn't that be nice? You're having an off day and you want to turn your heart rate down to one beat per minute. You can just flip a switch and go, you know what? I'm going to go relax for the rest of the day. Here we go.
Having said that, a couple of texts here say thank you, really, and one says thank you for saving this alligator's life. And that's literally what did happen, because right now we had a, not so much now, it's a bit warmer, but we had a cold snap in Chicago. And I
was there for it, yes, sir.
Yeah, there you go. But you weren't there. This was post Chance the Snapper. I mean...
Oh, the one last winter, I got you.
Yeah, my point, though, is that... An alligator would never survive in our Chicago winter. That's what I'm getting at. So you did save this alligator's life. How exactly did you catch the alligator?
I caught him on the rod and reel. It's how I catch a large percentage of the gators I catch down here every year in Florida. You put me up against pretty much any quarterback, I can outcast him. I can fling a fishing rod pretty much on a dime. About 80 yards.
What was the bait?
There is none. It's just basically a snatch hook or a treble hook. Uh-huh. The way they're built, it just kind of goes against their skin. And as long as you keep the rod tip up of the line tight, it'll stay on there. And literally the second you touch that alligator, that the slack comes in the line, the hook falls right back out.
And how did you find Chance the Snapper?
Walked around the pond and kind of called for him, had a conversation for him, and eventually... saw his eye shine, was able to catch, call him out from the cave or the lily pads he was in, out, and he gave me one chance, and you know, thankfully that one chance worked out.
So to speak, one chance. So
yes, sir.
How do you call an alligator? Do you say, hey, boy, come here, boy?
Pretty much in his language, yes, sir, pretty much.
What does his language sound like?
It's a bunch of different tones and different variables and tones, and they're kind of drawn out different ways. They're just like people. They kind of have their own, all crocodilians kind of have their own dialect or their way of discussing things. And once you kind of figure it out and how each one sounds, you can kind of have a conversation with any of them. Sometimes they'll even answer you back.
Can you speak a little alligator?
Yes, sir, but not on the radio.
Oh, come on!
We'll save that for another time, buddy.
You're being very difficult. I don't understand.
Next time you come to Florida, we'll call some alligators.
I would like to do that, actually. So you got Chance the Snapper. You took Chance back to Florida. Where's the alligator now?
He's at the St. Augustine Alligator Farm and Zoological Park, which is only an alligator farm by name. They have never farmed any animals out of that place. It's all for research and for basically breeding those animals that are critically endangered for other zoos and for re-release into the wild.
Well, there are crocodilian species. There are many of them, right? I mean, it's not just the American alligator.
Yeah, we're up to 26 species now that are accepted. They were at 24 for a long time, and then they split a couple here recently. I think it was the West African slender snout is split into two different species now.
Okay, one of the questions coming in via text, and our phone number, or you can text 312-981-7200. And now two questions essentially are asking, all right, where is Chance the Snapper today, and what is Chance the Snapper doing on a daily basis?
If you're interested, you can follow the St. Augustine Alligator Farm on any social media. They post pictures of him almost daily, pictures and videos of him eating and just enjoying life. He's in a great big enclosure. I think he's in like a 35-by-35 enclosure. They have some Chicago music playing, like a nonstop. They have a map of the area. Actually, the topo that was given to me, they have on the wall there where he was at, a big welcome sign. He's pretty much the first thing you see when you walk into the alligator farm. They had some albino alligators there where he was at, and they moved them out and put him in. He has a couple of gal friends in there with him now that he's passed his 90-day quarantine.
Uh-huh.
And he's living it up like a rock star. He's doing really, really good. And all that, what's cool, that whole place is spring-fed. So it doesn't matter how cold the outside air gets, the water is always 72 degrees. It's the reason that place has been there since the late 1800s. It's the perfect place.
Hmm. All right. It sounds great. I want to talk to you about that coloring book that you have that benefits, in part, Chicago Animal Care and Control. We've got Frank Alligator Rob, the guy responsible for saying, Chance the Snapper, I'm going to save your life. That's exactly what he did. 8 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN. 4 minutes before 7 o'clock, good morning, WGN. I'm Steve Dale, and we have the most noted animal celebrity of the year in Chicago on the phone. Frank Alligator Rob is here, and we're talking about how you caught Chance the Snapper, where Chance is now. The question I have is about this coloring book, this kid's book, and it benefits Chicago Animal Care and Control. Describe the book a little bit and tell us where folks can get it.
Well, actually, this book, the bobblehead is going to, a portion of that's going to Chicago Animal Care and Control. The coloring book, a portion is going to the Crocodile Specialist Group.
Oh, okay.
And the First End Foundation.
Okay.
For first responders.
That's a great thing.
It's a coloring book based on what we were just discussing here in the very beginning. It's a conservation story. It's the story of Chance the Snapper from Chance the Snapper. How basically people get these animals from whatever, however they end up with them. If that's from somebody getting them off the black market, get them from the wild, however it might be, and that animal growing too big for the spot it's in, and then getting turned out somewhere, and then what happens from that situation on. It's truly a conservation story that, you know, we've been hearing it forever, but it needs to be told again. You know, situations like this are nonstop around the country.
Yeah.
It's not just Chicago. I mean, Florida, it's one of the biggest problems in Florida right now. We have every animal you can possibly think of running around down here because mm-hmm. people keep turning them out. So, as you know, it's not just crocodilians. It's snakes. It's geckos. It's chameleons. It's all kinds of crazy stuff that you're just finding all over the place now.
Yeah, and the problem with that, first of all, is that these animals perhaps aren't being kept as pets appropriately. Otherwise, they might not be turned out. And secondly, once they are, depending on where they're turned out, they may not have a chance to survive, and that's so wrong. And in addition, even if they do survive, they're impacting all the other animals in the environment because they don't belong there. And it's a shame.
At different levels, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. How does one get the coloring book? And if I want your bobblehead, so maybe your bobblehead will do alligator sounds. How do I get that?
The bobblehead can be found at the bobbleheadhall.com,
okay,
which is the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And the coloring book can be found at realalligatorrob.com, so R-E-A-L, alligator, Rob with two Bs, .com.
And Bobblehead Hall of Fame. Whoever thought I'd be talking to a Hall of Famer from the Bobblehead Hall of Fame. Frank, thank you very much for doing all you do about reptiles in general and for animals and the research you do. It is a pleasure to spend some time talking to you. Thank you.
Anytime, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there he goes, the Chicago Animal Man of the Year on WGN, an alligator catcher. One of the thrills of my career just occurred. I mean, truly, I was so honored to help organize this event that brought in people from around the world to talk about a feline disease. All right, you may not be excited. Do I sound excited? I am, because for the first time, all these experts said feline infectious peritonitis, or FIP, is treatable. We don't need to call it fatal. And by the way, if we get enough money for what we now know about viruses and what we now know about this particular very complex disease, it might be better than treating. It might be preventable. Maybe one day we'll be able to vaccinate for this. I mean, we did this at the University of California, Davis. I was out there for a couple of days. As I said, I was sort of the host of the event. Researchers from around the world were brought in who were all at some point in time funded by the Wynn Feline Foundation that funds cat health studies. Follow me on Facebook. I'll be writing a lot more about this. It was so exciting to be able to say I'm a part of this.